It is January 21st, 2023, and Kara Vandry of the Ashland Library is interviewing Cletus Magus. And Cletus, what is your birthday?
March 12th of 1940.
This interview is being done by the Ashland City Library through Humanities Kansas in conjunction with the NEA Big Read Project. And Cletus, what branch of service were you in?
In the Army.
What was your rank?
I ended up a sergeant in the reserves, but I ended up only a PFC in the regular Army.
What is a PFC?
PFC is Private First Class.
Okay. And where did you serve?
Well, after I went to military police training in Fort Gordon, Georgia, I went to Germany, and I spent 19 months in Germany. Okay. At the little town of Miesau, which is, it's only about 6 kilometers from Ramstein, which is a big air base in there.
Okay. Now, were you drafted or did you enlist?
I was drafted in the Army. So I only spent 2 years in the Army.
Where were you living when you were drafted?
At home with my parents.
In Ashland?
Yeah. And I was working for the elevator there in Spearville.
How old were you?
When I was drafted, I was 23.
Okay.
But I started working when I was 19.
But because you were drafted, you didn't get to choose which branch you went into.
Right, you're right.
Okay. What were your first days in the service like?
Well, we went to basic training, and we had 9 weeks of rigid training. And it was in May and June, so it was cold at night, but hot during the day.
Where?
In Fort Gordon, Fort Lauderdale, no, that wasn't there. It's in Missouri.
Lejeune?
Right around Rolla, Missouri.
Okay.
Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, yeah. I finally got it, yeah. Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
What was it like?
Well, it was hot. Like I did during the day, it was hot. And then at night, it would get, at times, it was pretty cool at night. But,
did you have barracks or were you in tents?
Well, we were barracks during basic training. But then when we went to the funeral for we spent a week in the tents, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Bivouac. We had to spend a week in the tents to learn how to set up tent and dig a trench and everything, yeah. And we had there was 2 people per tent. So we had we carried a half of a tent and the other guy carried a half. And then we put them together and made two, and then we had to dig a trench around our tent for the water drainage in case it rained.
Did it rain?
Well, not in bivouac, no.
Okay.
No, but we had to have it there. That was part of the training.
What did it feel like?
Well, basic training wasn't too bad because I had several brothers and brother-in-law that were in the military, and they said, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word to anybody in basic training. So I did. I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say boo. When I was spoken to, I spoke. Otherwise, don't say a word, and I got along fine. Yeah.
You kept your head down.
Yeah, kept my head down, and then my lieutenant that was the head of the basic training, he was really great. I really liked him, and I because he would do anything that he expected us to do. He could do anything, and so I had earned a lot of respect for him because he was a real good sergeant, or lieutenant, I'm sorry. He was a lieutenant ahead of mine in basic training.
Is there anything that you remember that happened during?
They had to shoot. We had to crawl up for basic or bivouac. We had to crawl about 50 yards or so under fire, and they fire over our heads.
Real bullets?
Oh, yeah, real bullets. Of course, I think they were firing enough above our head that we could stand up, and I don't think they could hit us, but we didn't take the chance. In other words, I don't think they were low enough that they would hit us.
They weren't aiming at you.
Well, okay. they're above us, but
okay.
Yeah, but they was far enough above us that we could stand up, but we didn't take that chance. And we had to crawl 50 with our elbows. Some of them had bloody elbows that time we got because we were crawling in dirt and rocks and stuff, yeah. And we had to go 50 yards
okay.
in under concertina wire and stuff like that, yeah. But that was part of our training in basic.
Okay. And how long did basic last?
9 weeks. 9 weeks of, because we had to march with our guns and we had to learn all of the commands and stuff of the, you know, so we had to learn quite a bit what each command meant and then that was part of the training, you know, and then we went out in the field. And then we spent 4 weeks of that week just firing in the firing range. Okay. We'd march out to the firing range and we'd shoot our weapons. Mm-hmm. And the targets were, they were pop-up targets. So some were as far as 50 yards mm-hmm. to 300 yards. And they'd pop up at different places and we would shoot them down. Mm-hmm. And that's how they... But we did that for 4 weeks. We shot the weapon, learned how to shoot the weapons.
Okay.
And we used an M1. We used the old M1, which was in World War II.
Okay.
And then when we got to AIT, we got to use the M14, which was fairly new then.
What's AIT?
It's pretty near the same weapon, mm-hmm. but it was an M14 rather than a... Now, what was the first one I said?
M1,
yeah. M1 was used in the World War II.
Now, what was the place called where they gave you the M14?
Well, that's when I went the second week of MP training.
Okay, and MP stands for?
Military Police.
Okay.
Military Police. That was my second AMT, EMT. I mean, God, I won't know.
I know.
It's been too long. But my second tour of duty was MP training.
Okay.
I got 2 weeks' notice of... between basic training and MP training.
Okay.
I got 2 weeks' notice. So I got to come home, and then I had to go back to the MP training. Mm-hmm. And that was my second. And there I took a test, and according to the test, they put me where they wanted me. I didn't know what an MP was until I found out, you know, was drafted into it or... Because I was drafted, I just had to go where they put me. And I took a test to find out, and I guess on that test I scored where I was an MP rather than the military or the infantry, which they put They put a lot of people in the infantry.
What kind of training do you get if you're going to be an MP?
Well, we learn military law for one thing.
Okay.
So we go to school part of the time, mm-hmm. and then we learn how to drive a Jeep. Well, most of us knew how to drive the Jeep, But a lot of people going through MP training didn't know how to run the stick shift. They didn't know how to run the stick shift on a and the four-wheel drive.
Okay.
But everybody in our Jeep, we got together and we all knew how to drive it, so we had fun. We had, just drove it like we knew how, because we knew how.
Okay.
And then we had 18 hours of judo.
Okay.
And I don't know how many hours of schooling we had to learn military law. We had to learn the military law. And then we had riot control.
Okay.
That was where we had the
shields
plus the helmets plus the glasses. And we learned how to wedge people and run a, break up a riot control. And I forget how many weeks that we had, but we had training in that.
Mm-hmm.
But after 9 weeks, I had 9 weeks of training there in the military police. Then they took us on an airplane up to New York, and we caught a ship.
Mm-hmm.
But we took an airplane up to New York, caught a ship, and went across the sea in a ship.
And you went to...
Bremerhaven.
Which is
that's the north end of Germany.
Okay.
That's where all the troops come with the ship. And then we got on a train and went to our base, which is way south, part of Germany. Mm-hmm. So we went clear across the state. And that's when I lost my, it was foggy or cloudy and foggy and so on. And I was disorientated every time I was over there because the sun come up in the north every day. So that's how I, and I couldn't get it straight. I knew it, but.
But you had to think about it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I had to stop and think, yeah.
What was it like when you got there to your assignment?
Well, we couldn't, until our clearance went through, we had to give a, not a, you know, crypto clearance to get in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And we never used any of our police work whatsoever. That's what's strange.
Okay.
Anything we learned in the police department, we didn't use, and we just pulled guard duty for 19 months. Regular guard duty for 19 months.
What is regular guard duty? What do you do?
Well, 8 hours on and then, yeah, 8 hours on, and then you're off for, 12 hours. Well, whatever, 24.
What do you do when you're on guard duty?
Just walk the fence.
Carrying a gun?
Carrying a gun with 40 rounds of ammo. We had 40 rounds of ammo, two clips that fit. And that's when we got the M14.
Okay.
They would hold a 20 clip, 20 military clip,
mm-hmm.
and we had to carry 40 of them, 40 rounds. Where the M1 only had an 8 clip.
Oh.
So that was the difference between the M1 and the M14. There's that one of them had 8 and one the other one had 20.
Okay.
So that was a bit of a little.
The big thing was having more ammunition.
Yeah, having more ammunition and quicker. And then I carried an M14 for 19 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go out in the woods, mind you, because our duty was to cover the bunkers. There was a bunch of bunkers out there that was really the Germans built the bunkers, but we used them, and they had the anti-aircraft missiles was in most of them, and the anti-aircraft missiles were set up along the East German border because the border was for the Chinese and the Russians. Well, at that time it was the Russians.
Okay.
Were trying to come in, and so they were set up along there. And there's one time I volunteered for a truck that hauled them up there and put them on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And right across the border was a Russian owned it, or run it. So we had to watch it. We had to ride out the border,
Okay.
But I only took one truck up there. Otherwise, I was in the area walking guard duty for 19 months, and it was boring. You talk about boring and boring. because it was out there by yourself. Now, you could see the other guard because they had 18 guards mm-hmm. around that whole area. You could see them, but we couldn't get together and talk. But we would at night.
Now, remind me where this was that you were guarding?
In Miesau, Germany.
Miesau, Germany was the name of the town that was the closest.
Yeah.
And you are guarding bunkers of anti-aircraft
guns? Missiles. They were missiles at aircraft. Now, some of the two of the bunkers had the big nuclear bomb.
Okay.
But it wasn't set up for nuclear power.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't detonated. If it was detonated, it only clear half a mile, and that was it. But it would clear out. If one of them went off, we wouldn't be here today. But
did you ever feel threatened?
Yeah.
Threatened by what?
By the bomb. They were out here. Well, that one deal. I was guard duty, and they was working on the. There was another company, Ordnance Company. Yeah, Ordnance Company took care of the missiles. We took care of the guard duty. That was it. Then right out here was this platform where they bought the bombs out.
Yes.
And I was next door. I was right, 50 yards. Okay. I was just within a couple yards of that bomb. Mm-hmm. And they were down there, you know, they brought them out of the bunker. They mm-hmm. set them all along there, and they want this one. They couldn't get it to. And there I had to stay on my guard duty, and they took off running. And then when we really was scared.
And you had to just stand there.
And I had to stand there, and if it went off, it went off. But they run all the way, and the guardhouse was about from here to the highway, from where, and I could see them still running. Out the gate, you know, and pretty soon here come the Jeep, and that was the only time I didn't see the Jeep stop at the gate, because everybody, they check everybody's deal, but they had to have a...
Did they come get you?
Yeah, no, they come and get the bomb. I had to stay there. So they come barreling in with the Jeep, and they come down the... Yeah, and they come up there, and they, of course, this guy was a officer that was supposed to be able to disarm the bomb. And he messed with it, and pretty soon he said, okay, I got it all squared away, and it was okay. Well, then they all left, and the ordnance company put the bombs back, you know, and pretty soon they called the ambulance, and they will come out and pick us all up after the gun.
Is that the Army way?
Yeah. They come and picked us up and took us to the grand house, and then they check everything out, and they put us back out there then the pool guard duty. But they picked us up, and I thought, what? You're a day late, a dollar short. Because if that thing went off, it would have cleared everything for about a half a mile everywhere. And that wouldn't, the nuclear, we wouldn't have had the nuclear war, but we had the regular bomb, you know.
And which would clear everything out
for about a half a mile,
okay.
Clear everything for half a mile. So I didn't have a chance. I was within, you know, well, 10 feet, 10, 12 feet, 15 feet. Remember.
And you just stood there.
And that's, I just said, well, this is it.
Probably couldn't run that fast anyway.
Well, okay. and my chances are, well, if that soaker is going to go off, it's going to go off. And to get to half a mile out of there. So, yeah, you're right. I just said, that's one of them hazards.
Well, quick question. Where was that bomb aimed at?
Just right. It wasn't aimed. It was just right there. They're just going to go boom and right there to blow the whole area up. And the only thing wrong with it might have set the others off.
Well, real quick here, help me understand. Why do you put a bomb on your own ground?
Well, but they were, they had to have them, what do you call it?
They had to make them live,
yeah.
Okay.
And evidently, wherever they turned, they're supposed to see whether it's live or not. And this one was live to start with. And so I don't know the whole thing, but I do know it was a nuclear bomb. And that was the only, probably the only time I was really scared was that one. Okay. And I thought, well, that's just part of the hazard right there.
Okay.
But that's the only, about the only thing that happened that whole 19 months of walking no guard duty.
With one very exciting moment.
One exciting moment, yeah.
Okay.
Now, they did have, but I wasn't out there in the unit. But at that time, that some of the pranks they pulled, these ordnance guys would come out way after dark, when they were supposed to be there before dark. Well, in Germany, it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It gets dark because it's far enough north. So it gets dark early in the wintertime. Now, in the summertime, it's just the opposite. It stays light till 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
But anyway, the prank they pulled, and it wasn't my unit, but another unit, because there was 4 units, and three of them was on guard duty and one was off. And then we rotated for the whole week, 19 months we rotated. Mm-hmm. Day on, day off. We was on 3 day shifts, which was 8 to 4. And then from 4 to midnight was a swing shift. And then from midnight to 8 in the morning. And that was a 3 shifts. And then one was on guard. We had what they call an 8-day vacation for 8. And we didn't have weekends. In other words, weekends is 24/7.
Yeah.
In fact, both Christmases I worked, but both New Year's I was off. It just so, you know, panned out that way.
Did you get to go home and visit family?
No, not in Germany.
Okay.
It'd be if there was a death or something like that, we could come home. If we wanted to, but no, I wouldn't get for because we're over in Germany, and I would only get 2 weeks off at the most. Well, 8 days, so I wouldn't get no. They wouldn't give me enough time.
When you had a day off, what did you do?
Oh, we just went to Paris, or we went to different places Oh, we went to Frankfurt. We went to Munich. We'd go to different places sometime, and then sometime we'd stay and just play cards or hide out, you know. And the card game we played was a pinochle. And there was 4 of us in our unit. We played pinochle, and we did play a lot of pinochle. Yeah, no money was for... We didn't play no poker. Yeah, but we played pinochle mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you got to travel Europe.
Oh, yeah, I got all over Europe, all over Germany, let's put it. And then I took one of my leaves. I went through 11 days of Italy, they called it.
Okay.
The highlights of Italy, 11 days, and it cost me $178, round trip, 11 days, my room was paid for and my bus ticket. And then they paid one meal, which was breakfast, for $178, which for back then was quite a bit more than it is now, but still, it was fairly cheap then. It was pretty cheap then.
So I
got to see all of Italy and Austria and Sweden. Switzerland. Yeah, and Germany. I got to see all of them when I took that tour, 11 days.
You used your time wisely.
Yeah, that was, and I can tell some of the stories Well, on one of the trips down to, the bus was coming back from Rome up through Pisa and up the west, the west side, which was the West Riviera.
And okay.
Tents and beach, you know, was all along there. And then we got up in the mountains, which was further north. Well, the mountain passes were, they honk your horn, and the one coming up the mountain had their right of way.
Okay.
But the bus was so big, going around them curves, you had to stop. The other people both stopped and let the bus out. So they honked your horn, and they ran around them bees. Well, we got up there in the mountains quite a ways, and the bus quit. And all of a sudden, we unloaded. Well, we got off the bus because we was, you know, and he said we're going to have to call back down to the nearest city and get a mechanic and all that. So we just, well, first of all, the bus was stopped at a place they couldn't stop. It wasn't wide enough.
Yeah.
So we had to get behind the bus, and we run behind, and I was running behind. Well, to run the motor.
Okay.
Because the foot feed, what happened, the foot feed broke on the, and the motor was in the rear of the bus.
Okay.
So I run out of the rear of the bus. I had to, he told me what to do, and I would run the
accelerator
and go up the hill as fast as I, you know, as fast as I could run. And I'd run the thing up the hill. And then I'd get tired, I'd switch off and let another guy, and he would run it until we found a wide enough spot in the road where we could pull over.
Okay.
Well, we got to our destination there. We got to wandering around, and you know, and he said it was going to be a long time before the mechanic got up there. And we seen this guy over there milking a cow, you know. And so we was out there roaming around, and we went over there, and he could speak a little bit of English. There was different towns that would have a few people that could speak a little or understand.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we asked him, we was looking around, and we said, I forget what questions we asked him, but he tried to give us the answer, and then we said, well, what time is it? We got to get back to our bus. And he would lift up on that cow's udder, and, well, it's 10 till 4. 10 minutes till 4. So we got back to the bus, and that guy, well, hell, there ain't nobody here yet. There ain't nobody going to fix that yet. And we got to telling the people that they could tell the time by the lifting on the udder. And they said, no. And then people wouldn't believe us. We said, come on back. We got plenty of time, because he wasn't very far from us. So we went on back, and he lifted up, and it's about 4 o'clock, you know. And they said, well, how in the world do you do that? He said, I lift up, and I can see the clock down on the village. Down at the village. He was just lifting up the butter to them. And then people were, and we were kind of upset too. We thought we were really running something. He just lifted up, and he said, "Down at the village down there, there's a clock on the church down there." So that was one of the highlights of the tour, was that trip, and that running that. I got to do that.
You
I got
to run, the run that
accelerator to go up the hill. And as soon as I let up, it got unloaded, and they switched off. And the next guy would run until we found a spot that was big enough to
stop it.
But anyway, and then when we got to Switzerland, we stayed all night in Lucerne, which was a big lake out there. Lake Lucerne, and the city was built around that. And we run into people that was from Kansas. You know, Hoyington, Kansas. There were some people that was on tour, and they was in Switzerland. So we run into, we got a picture of them, but Where it's at, I couldn't tell you. Maybe it's, maybe I do have a picture. But I took a lot of pictures on slides. Mm-hmm. So I got a whole box full of slides mm-hmm. from pictures on that trip. And I think maybe they're in there. But we met some people from Kansas. Because the guy I was with from Cheney, Kansas. Mm-hmm. He was from Cheney that went on the trip with me. And
it's a small world.
Yeah, and we had probably one of the highlights of our trip was mm-hmm. we was no longer military for one thing.
Yeah.
We was on leave, you know.
Yes.
Then I took a trip to, well, that was right about a month before I left. See, March. Yeah, March, and I got finished over there in May, and I come home. So March that year, I went to Berlin, mm-hmm. and they were still high on the American people. They loved the American people because the American people helped them with the airlift. Mm-hmm. If you know any of your history, mm-hmm. the 61 airlift where they
was
we couldn't
there.
Get the food or anything into mm-hmm. Germany, mm-hmm. to Berlin, mm-hmm. so we flew it in. Mm-hmm. And they had places for the British, the French, and the Americans could fly in to Berlin because there was four sectors, the East German, and then the British, French, and the American in Berlin. So there's four sectors. Okay. Yeah.
Were there people there at that time who still supported Hitler?
Not in our three sectors, but in the East German. I couldn't answer that question in East Germany because mm-hmm. East Germany was communistic, see. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't believe the difference because I toured. I had to wear my uniform, but I toured East Berlin. Mm-hmm. And there was a difference of day and night between West Berlin and East Berlin. And East Berlin had a tin penny piece that made out of aluminum, and it took 10 of them to make one regular. So
their money wasn't worth it.
Money wasn't worth nothing over there, over in East Berlin.
What other differences were there?
Well, there wasn't no advertisement, because why advertise in the...
There's no money.
And there was no people on the streets. There wasn't no... The streets wasn't busy. I mean, once in a while you'd see a bicycle mm-hmm. or something, but you wouldn't see no people on the street. You wouldn't see no cars. It was just like it looked like Asheville on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Just about. And then you'd cross into Checkpoint Charlie, and you'd go into West Berlin, and it was booming. I mean, it was, they were building in there, and the cars and the traffic was terrible, and it just, you can't believe the difference between East Berlin and West Berlin.
What was Checkpoint Charlie?
That was the checkpoint where you had to cross.
Between East Berlin
yeah,
and West?
Yeah, Checkpoint Charlie, and they would come on the bus. Well, first of all, the Americans would check everybody out mm-hmm. to make sure they was, and then we went through what they call no man's land. And then we had to be checked out by the Russians, the Russians, I guess you call them. But they was East Berlin. And they would come on the bus and they'd make a head count is all they would do. Okay. They wouldn't check her.
Did you have special paperwork?
Oh, yeah.
Passport?
We had to have a special deal to get in through Checkpoint Charlie. Because they checked, they checked everybody's. And it wasn't a passport. It was a, well, for military, it was, you had to show some military papers. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what it was for the American people, but it was probably a passport or something.
Did you get checked both ways then?
Yeah.
When you went in and when you came out?
And when we come out, we got checked again.
What would have happened to you if you didn't have the paperwork?
You got thrown off the bus. Yeah, okay. You had to get off. You had to get off there at Charlie's or whatever and get your own route home. But I got out. See, I was in Berlin in March. Mm-hmm. And August, we had heard about some of the people from East Berlin, some young people strapped themselves to the bottom of the caterpillar with a big blade on the front.
A dozer?
Dozer, yeah.
Okay.
And they had strapped themselves underneath and turned it loose and went through the wall. And that's how, and that was after I'd been there. Well, then they closed down Checkpoint Charlie and everything until they get all that squared away. So that happened about 4 months after I was over there that these people, and they got free.
They survived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they made it because they were underneath. And they strapped themselves, and then they turned that tractor loose, and that tractor just went on through the wall. But I seen the wall, and I had pictures of the wall.
Where they drove through it.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. That was after I was there. I was okay. Home by then. It was in August.
So you saw the Berlin Wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was there, yeah. When in November of 65. Mm-hmm. I mean, October. No. March of 1965. I was in Berlin.
Okay.
And I seen the Berlin Wall, went through Checkpoint Charlie, and then we went to, and they checked our bus, but they wouldn't, and we went to the cemetery, and we went through a lot of, but there was nobody on the street, and no advertising, you know, there was no advertising because everything was taken over by the government.
And you didn't want to stay there.
Uh-uh, I didn't.
Okay.
But it was, you know, quite a just difference to see. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the trips I took there.
Okay. Did you get any medals or citations for good behavior?
No. Well, I got a dishonorable discharge. But that was, everybody gets that except the ones that are medically discharged. But about the only medal I got was expert, and that was way back in the basic
expert
training.
What?
Basic training, I got the top shooter of the shooting the rifle. What do you call it?
Target?
No, you got your regular. Boy, my mind is.
Marksman?
Marksman was second, but the top shooter, I was in the top.
Okay.
Expert, that's what it was.
Okay.
I got an expert medal, and that's about the only medal I got.
Okay.
And like I said, when I come over, all my buddies that went over with me from the basic training, not the military, but the basic training, I run into a whole bunch of my buddies from the basic training. And they were all sergeants, and I was only PFC, which is one
notch up.
Yeah, damn. One notch.
Okay.
So then when I got over here in the VFW, or the reserves, mm-hmm. I told them, I said, I wasn't going to re-enlist because they wouldn't give me no rank.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make you a sergeant. That was here in Dodge. That's a big deal.
Does it pay better?
Well, a little bit. But, okay. You know, for reserve, we don't get paid much anyway.
Yeah.
So they made me a sergeant right before I left. Just a month or so before I left. And then I got out of the active reserve by then. But
okay.
Yeah. What else?
How did you stay in touch with your family? Could you call?
Oh, well, we could call, but usually the phone was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So, just letters. I sent letters and pictures back and forth, but not a whole bunch, but I did, yeah.
What was the food like?
Oh, we had good cooks and bad cooks. And good cooks, we had the cafeteria was full, mm-hmm. and we had good food.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a cook on the outside, so he was a good cook on the inside. But then when the other cooks come on duty, there wasn't hardly nobody that would eat there. But I ate there but they put grease on everything. I mean, everything was greasy. It was good, but bad cooks. Everything was real greasy.
So you paid attention to who was cooking.
Who was cooking when that one particular good, he was. And we'd get lieutenants and that from other companies coming over to our to eat because they knew he was on.
Did you have plenty of supplies? Did you have everything you needed?
No. Let's put it this way. We had to go out, and no matter what the weather was, raining, snowing, we had to go out 24/7.
Okay.
And we had nothing but a
jacket,
cotton coat, that, you know. And the big shots had the fur, the wool, made a big difference. But the big shots got the jackets with the wool, and they didn't need them. That was the only supplies we didn't get, was a
warm coat.
A warm coat. And I kind of, after I myself went to the PX and got a rubber suit, and I put my long underwear on, then my rubber suit, which would hold my heat, see, my body heat.
Yes.
And then I put my fatigues on, and I kept warm that way. Otherwise, we wouldn't have enough. If I didn't get my own, we wouldn't have had enough to keep warm out in the boot. Because there was days it would just rain and rain and rain and rain. Well, we had the ponchos, but the ponchos went to your knees, and then they dripped down them. And you, from your knees down, you got soaking wet.
You were just cold.
And then we cold, So, you know, they could have done better with the clothing. And then the guy that didn't need them had the wool jackets.
And were inside anyway.
Yeah, and they was inside anyway. And we had the little army jackets, you know.
Okay. Did you feel, besides when they're running away from bombs, did you feel any pressure or stress while you were working?
No, not really. Okay. Just the stress of getting caught. Because at night, we would kind of get together and talk at different bombs, you know.
Okay.
At night when they wouldn't see us. Mm-hmm. And then at the gatehouse at the gate, they would warn when anybody come. They would give everybody a ring, and we'd get back to our posts. And the only stress we had was when they got that phone call. We had to go back to our base. This was at night.
So you were more afraid of officers than you were the enemy.
Oh no, we didn't have no enemy. No, back then we had nobody coming up the fence.
Okay.
A deer and the rabbits is the only thing we had come to the fence.
And you only had 40 rounds. So
And we had 40 rounds. But
how did you entertain yourself besides going on tours of great countries?
Well, other than that, playing cards, you know, and then we up in the what they call the day room, we had a pool table and a ping pong table, and we played a little of that, you know. But that was the only time we had off was the when he's off, you know.
Okay.
Otherwise, we slept and we went out on 8 hours of duty.
Okay.
So we didn't have a whole lot of entertainment. Now, we did go to the club. We could drink beer and they had a band playing. It's called the EMT Club, because I was there when Kennedy got shot.
Okay, what happened? Where were you when Kennedy was killed?
I was in that EMT beer joint, and we were drinking a few beers, listening to the music because they had a band playing, and we were sitting around visiting, and we weren't dancing because there wasn't no women, and we were just talking and, you know, shooting the bull, and all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker, they shut the band down, and they said, "Your president has been shot," and that was it.
No more information.
No more information whatsoever. So we sat there. We didn't know if we should finish our beer or whatever.
Yeah.
And then about 30 minutes or so later, they said, "Your president has been shot by a Russian."
Oh, dear.
You know, he had evicted from Russia.
Okay.
But he finally, and we thought, oh, shit, that World War III had just started.
Yeah.
Because Russia was, you know.
What did you do?
So we waited, and pretty soon it took them an hour before they called an alert. And when they called an alert, we had to go back to the barracks, and then we had to sleep in everything but our boots. We had to sleep in our fatigues and be ready, then our boots, we slipped them on, and then they had to triple the guards. Mm-hmm. And they did that for about 6 weeks till they found out more about what went on, because this supposedly Russian killed the president, and he evicted from Russia to the American. He was actually American that was, you know, went back and forth, to put it that way.
Yeah.
And so about 6 weeks we was on alert, and they tripled the guards for about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But it took them an hour to call the alert, because we was expecting it, but we waited till they called it. So we sat there, and then we didn't drink any more beer. We didn't. The band didn't play anymore. We just sat there, and we was our president has been shot. And of course, it was 1 o'clock over here, but it's 7 over there. Yeah. 7 o'clock in the evening. So we was already in the.
So you didn't know if you might be
in a war. We thought we was in World War III. Yeah, we thought it was World War III. Yeah, okay. For a couple weeks we thought we were gonna be extended and have to spend, you know, more than 2 years in the Army.
Yeah.
But it turned out all right, as far as we was concerned.
Okay. About the time your service was ending, was Vietnam ramping up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
April. They started bombing Vietnam in April, and I got out in May. So we heard a lot about Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We didn't know where it was at, you know, unless we got a map out and, But we heard a lot about the bombing and that. So we thought we was going to, when we got on the ship to come home, we thought that ship was going to go around and go to Vietnam. We thought we was going to Vietnam. But we ended up in New York and got off the ship.
Does that mean that the Army could have put you into service?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They could have extended me. They could have extended me, sure. I was drafted. And I was still in the so-called reserve unit, you know. And I, in fact, they could have activated their unit, you know, and made it. We went to Vietnam, but I didn't go.
Why didn't they?
Well, they didn't need to. I guess there was enough enlisted people that wanted to go, or they drafted. I don't know what. What did Tom and Berryman and them, Jim Daly and all them that went? What was they listed or they?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either whether they listed or drafted. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they went. So there was enough that they didn't need us, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we was already trained.
Yeah.
They'd
already put the money into you.
Yeah. It's all, talk about money. It was back in 1963, military police was $6,000 a piece to put us through that 9 weeks.
Training?
$6,000, which was a lot of money back then. Mm-hmm. And we never used a bit of it. We went over to Europe. 90% of the MP, military police, went to the pulling guard duty in the woods. That's all we did for 19 months. All that training went to hell. I don't know. I know a little bit about falling and that on judo, but all I learned, you know, in the military law and all that is not very...
Not useful.
Not useful. I probably used the judo more than anything, mm-hmm. and that was to learn how to fall, and because mm-hmm. I had a terrible fall after I got back. I fell 16 feet on cement. And lived through it, but in flying colors, mm-hmm. had nothing but a wind knocked out of me.
You think it's because you were taught how to fall?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I give all my credit to that, yeah.
That was in an elevator?
Yeah, in the top of the elevator.
Yeah.
From one floor to the other, and I was standing on a 4-foot wall, and when I went over 16 feet into the bottom floor, which was still top of the bins, and it just knocked me out of wind. And then about an hour or so, I didn't know where I was at. I come to, and I didn't know what I'd been. I'd worked there for many years, mm-hmm. and I didn't know where I was at.
So you came through the military with no troubles.
Yeah.
And then, okay. all right. So you're not exactly sure why they didn't push you into active duty in Vietnam.
Right.
The timing must have been right.
Other than they had enough to go on.
Without making
Without me, yeah.
There was a lot of negative sentiment about Vietnam. So when you got back home, how did people treat you?
Well, they treat me fine. I was in Vietnam, see.
Yeah.
But when the Vietnam come home... They waited until they come home, Bernard, or they were supposedly killed a lot of women and children.
Okay.
Supposedly.
Okay.
And, of course, they had orders to it, and you had to follow the orders. But they treated me great. I mean, I wouldn't, because I wasn't in that war.
Your timing was better.
Yeah.
Did you go back to school, or did you go... Just go straight to work? Did you use the GI Bill?
Yeah. Well, no, I went straight back to work because they had to hire me back where I was working at the grain elevator.
Right.
So they had to hire me back.
Okay.
And I worked there till 68 when I went into Farm Bureau. Mm-hmm. So I got out in 65, so I worked 3 more years at the elevator. And then on my own, I enlisted signed up to be an agent for Farm Bureau.
Okay.
So that was my duty.
That was your living.
Yeah, and I didn't go to college. You know, I didn't, no college.
While you were in the service, did you make any close friends?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, everybody you lived with in that barracks was your friend, mm-hmm. and you'd do anything for him and he'd do anything for you because we had to live together.
You had to get along.
Oh, yeah. And there was two people. Well, he was the guy that went with me on that trip was from Shania, Kansas, but he was in another unit. The guy that was in, he was from Winfield, Kansas. He was in my unit in my room. Mm-hmm. And he was a big Bible. You know, he knew everything about the Bible. And so mm-hmm. I was Catholic, and we had big discussion, and once in a while, them other, you know, there was eight to a room.
Right.
And some of them others said, well, shut up, you know, we're going to sleep, you know.
Okay.
Me and him would go back and forth on our discussion, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he had a lot of good points, and I had a lot of good points that we went over. But pretty soon, one night, everybody in that barracks in our room, mm-hmm. which was eight of us, was involved in the discussion. Mm-hmm. So, but we made good friends. In fact, when I came back over here, I went to see him, and he seen me several times.
So you did keep some of your friends.
Just two of them. The one that was really close was a bicycler, and he he was a runner, I should say, mm-hmm. but he had a bicycle. I would ride his bike while he would run, and we was a good friend there. But he run for the Germans, and he run for America. So he didn't have to do any of the duty. He got to be a runner, which he loved to do. So we were pretty close, you know, to him. But he was from Minnesota or somewhere, and I never did keep track of him.
Didn't get to stay friends.
No. Just him too from Kansas, yeah.
Oh, is it Cheney? Cheney?
Cheney or Cheney. Cheney. It's a big lake west of Wichita.
I think it's Cheney.
Cheney was, Cheney. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure of my pronunciation. Did you join any veterans organizations after you got out?
Well, I tried to get the VFW, and my brother was a VFW member because he fought in the Korean War.
Right.
So he tried to get me in. He was at Spearvale, and he was a commander and all that, and he tried to get me in. And and every place, you know, I'd never been to a unit that was assigned, so I couldn't get into VFW. Well, then I moved down here, and they needed some help.
Right.
And I said, well, if you'll take me in, I'll help. Shoot the weapons and go out on the, you know, and do things, but I can't hold an office job. So they took me in down here, but legally I can't be a VFW member. I can be American Legion, and I didn't look, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the only organization I belong to is the VFW here, but legally I'm not legal because it was in a foreign war.
Right.
I wasn't in a combat zone.
Right.
Because you got to be in a combat zone to be legally VFW.
Well, how did being over there make you feel about military service?
Well, I didn't like it because, number one, it's socialistic as hell.
The military
Oh, yeah. Well, because they tell you everything to do. They tell you when to get a haircut. They tell you when to poop. They tell you when to brush your teeth. I took my liberty completely away. That was number one. And number two, it was a bad time because in military police, there was no rank.
Okay.
There was one of my class or room members, he was 22 years in the military and he was still a PFC.
So he got a very low pay?
Well, sure. There was no rank in PFC. So the only way, if you get out of the military police and get into some other unit and get your rank and then come back, then you keep your rank.
Okay.
And I have no way was I.
Okay.
You know, I did at that time. I had bad duty because it was boring as hell. Because you go out there, you try it sometime. Go out in the woods, way away from everybody, and pull guard duty for 8 hours straight, and then come home. And your mind just, you know. So I didn't want to have anything to do with the military when I got out. But there are other good parts of the military. My son was in the Air Force. My other son was in the military in Marines, my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he spent 4 years in there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he got out. I put my 2 years in and I got out. Then I had my 6 years of, 4 years of reserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I just mainly because my duty was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I had a terrible duty overseas. If I'd have been a real MP, maybe I would be in it, you know, 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I went out in the woods and pulled guard duty, and that's all I got.
Okay.
There was no rank whatsoever in there. So I give it up.
Is there anything that you would like to add about your military service?
Well, other than I learned to get along with people, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped me in my insurance business quite a bit. because you know, you had to pit up. If you didn't like that guy across from you, you had to put up with him. You had to learn to get along with everybody in your unit.
Okay.
And that helped me a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though I was pretty easy going anyway, I would always look for the good in, you know, the people that I served with. But that was probably one of the biggest things in this. And then traveling all over Europe. The travel, I couldn't put my handle on it, you know. Because that trip to Italy and back for $178 was the highlight of one of my tours, yeah. Yeah, it was.
You never got to go back to Europe?
No, not since then. I've had the chance. I've had many foreign exchange students I helped over here invited me to come back over there, but I've never,
just
never had. Yeah, I should have, but I did. Yeah, I had it.
Well, Cletus, thank you very much.
Well, I hope that helped. You
yes.
know.
And it's good because it's experiences from our community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But